Hello all. I'm Sam van Houten. I'm working for Codit, and today I'm going to talk about CRM online, but focusing on the integration style. So integrating the on-premises with the cloud-based CRM. I'm chief architect at Codit, and we focus on integration, and that's mainly BizTalk Server, but also more recently the entire Azure platform with a special focus on the service bus. And this talk will include a lot of these technologies. To be honest, I'm probably the only one in this Dynamics track of today who hasn't a lot of experience with Dynamics. So actually, to be honest, I started just after Christmas with the CRM Online trial. So that's all new for me. But my focus and the, let's say, the added value was on the integration part. And that's what most of this talk is about. Let's start with the different integration needs. So what you typically see is that CRM Online almost never stands on its own. So you need to have extra validation things and so on. So sometimes if you create an account, you want to have it validated, or you want to get the industry of the account to assign it to the right account manager. So these typical scenarios. You want to have synchronization because a lot of times the ERP system that mostly resides on premises has is the master of the accounts, where CRM, for example, is the master of the opportunities, and you want to have them synchronized with each other. And of course, the enrichment, you know, querying extra applications for credit check and all of that. And of course, the typical on-premises calculation stuff, where you want to call, do a price calculation, for example, in SAP, in order to make your proposals and your invoices for CRM Online. And what we've seen until now is that if you have CRM on-premises, so in your own network, you know, CRM is often connected with all the other applications, sometimes using BizTalk, sometimes using another ESB or a homemade integration solution. And you still need that that integration, also if you move it to the cloud. So if you move to CRM Online, you probably still will have a lot of on-premises applications where you need to integrate with. And that's what this talk is about, because things change. There's a firewall in between. There's netting devices. You have a total different security domain. So you still want to reuse those services online. You might have invested a lot in this WCF service layer or your on-premises applications, and you want to still be able to consume them from the cloud. There's no trust between each other because CRM Online is a multi-tenant application, and you know it's a lot different, the network zoning and the identity stuff. So for that, I believe that the Windows Azure platform, so the platform as a service offering of Microsoft, provides a lot of value, especially in the Azure Service Bus area. So one of the first capabilities that were released with Service Bus was the Service Bus Relay. So what happens if this receiver is a service that is on your own network, probably an application you want to connect with, and the sender, for example, is CRM Online, this receiver might be behind firewalls and you know not in the public DMZ, so it might be hard to reach it. And for that, what you can do, you can use the Azure Service Bus, and that Service Bus is in the cloud. It's a service provided by Microsoft, and you can have your application registered there. And then the sender will get one of the forwarders from the network load balancing layer from Microsoft, while this receiver is connected to the service bus. And if you send a request, the request will be routed through the service bus and will be returned as a response message to the initial request of the receiver. So that's a total different way of working, and the response of the message goes back. So what happens? There's relay. And you only need outbound connections. Even if you receive the incoming message, it's like a long poll. You poll, and you wait until you get an inbound message that you need to handle. And I'd like to give a demo on that, because this is one of the most important things for the entire relay stuff. You don't need outbound connections. So the firewall, you can just use your standard ports, 80443. It will typically only use TCP, and if that's not possible because it uses some specific ports, again, only outbound, if those are not working or not open, it will fall back on the HTTP side. And for the security part, it's all using ACS, so the access control service of Microsoft. So let's switch to a demo. What I have a very straightforward application, and you've probably seen tons of them. Just a console application that opens a web service host, and it exposes a service, very straightforward. It returns a customer detail based on the number, and it's exposed as a REST endpoint. WCF is all about configuration, so all the configuration is here. As you can see, there's two endpoints. One is using the web HTTP binding for the REST part, and another one is the basic HTTP binding. So if I do an F5, and I just go to this URI, you can see I'm getting back a response, and my service was called. So this is all locally. If I now want to make this service available to all of you, and if you want, you can test and have your own name or your company's name on it. The only thing I need to do is add these extra services. So I'm adding, and I can start it already. I'm adding some extra endpoints, and they are using a different binding. It's the relay binding, the service bus binding. As you can see, basic HTTP relay binding and web HTTP relay binding. So if you browse to this URI, you do /cus/your own name. You can see I have a security token because I had the security set to relay access token, so you cannot call that. If I change it to the NOM, it should still work. So it always takes some time to spin up, to register itself on that relay binding. If you then do the run, you see I'm getting back the data, and customer demo was requested. So if you want, you can call this too from everywhere. I'm behind firewalls and all of that. I didn't need to open any firewall ports. This computer is just configured like all the other computers in this demo. So that's, you know, the way things work with the relay binding. What also happens, and I think that was added in May or June, is the messaging part. What we've seen was a synchronous communication from the cloud to my local machine here, and I exposed the web service. What you also can do is using queues, and that's the whole messaging part. So you can have a queue in the cloud, and someone can deliver a message to a queue, and someone else can pick up from that queue, and it's asynchronous. And it has some big benefits for the for some patterns like the load leveling, where if you have a spike of incoming messages, like thousands of messages at the same time, and you want to make sure that you can only handle, or that you handle them based on the available resources, if you all queue them, the spike will be flattened out based on the available resources. And the same thing for load balancing. If you have like four or more instances in your application, if you use queuing, they will all share and work based on that load. You can decouple, so mobile devices are not always connected. If you just put the messages in a queue, mobile device comes online, and he retrieves all the messages there. So it's like a temporal decoupling there. The good thing is that you can configure and develop against these queues with different programming models. The one that I will show in the next demo is the .NET messaging API. And you also have the WCF bindings. So I've shown you the relay binding. You also have other bindings for the messaging part. And for non-.NET stuff, or for like Silverlight, and also for CRM Online, you can use the REST API for sandboxed mode. Another one is the topics and subscriptions. So a queue is just something where you put a message on and where someone can put pull a message from. Topics and subscriptions is actually the same thing, but it adds publish and subscribe. And if you're familiar with like things like BizTalk and ServiceBus, that can be very interesting for you. Because what happens, you can put a message on a topic, and then you can specify subscriptions on that topic. Subscriptions are in the form of SQL expressions. So where you just say, I want to have everything from country Belgium, or I want to have everything where the order total is larger than 1,000. And the second subscription, for example, says, I want to have every message that gets submitted to the topic. So it's like a virtual queue that gets the messages routed. And the difference is, if you just use a queue, you send to a queue and you can read from a queue. With topics and subscriptions, it's different. You send to a topic, but you will read from a subscription. So it's like a two-layered messaging layer. So let's close this demo. And let's switch back to the messaging part. So what I haven't shown is the Windows Azure administration console. So if you log on the windowsazure.com and you have your own account, and you know there's a lot of options and a lot of subscription possibilities, you can register with your own credentials. And then you can, in the service bus area, you can easily specify your own namespace. And your own namespace is a unique DNS, like I have created one for this demo. And this is my namespace, techdaysdemo.servicebus.windows.net. And behind that, I can build my own hierarchy of queues, topics, and services. And it all belongs to me. And I can specify all the security settings there. So what I will do, I have created a topic with two subscriptions. This console, at this moment, is pretty limited. So for that, I typically use the Service Bus Explorer that was released made available on the MSDN page by the CAT team of the Service Bus. And then you can connect to a Service Bus namespace. And for that, you need your own key. Like, this namespace has a key. And you can create different keys, so you can say, this key only belongs to, or can only read, and this one can only write, and so on. Of course, you have the owner key, which is like the administration key, and we never change that in demos, of course. So you can copy them, and you can use these as a name value pair to connect. So what I have here is I have a demo topic, and then I have the two subscriptions. And if you look, one subscription has a filter saying country equals BE, and the other one says country equals FR. So if I now switch back to my Visual Studio, I will start by creating a message sender, so someone that puts messages on that queue. I prepared all the, let's say, boring code, and I can focus on the real code. So first of all, I need to create a messaging factory. By the way, I added already the reference to the Microsoft.ServiceBus.dll. That one comes with the Azure SDK, the 1.6 SDK that was released in November. So first of all, I will create a messaging factory. With the static method. And as you can see, I need to provide two attributes or two methods with that. First one is the URI, and the other one is the token provider. So let's create these. And to create the service bus URI, so that's the endpoint or the link where my queue resides. So every queue has a DNS name that can be addressed, so URI. I need to specify some methods. For the messaging part, so the scheme is typically HTTP or SB from service bus. For the messaging part, so queues and so on, you always need SB. Oops. Then I need to specify my namespace, techdaysdemo. And then I can specify a service path if I want to go farther in the hierarchy. The next thing is the token provider, and that's the one that I need. I need to create a shared secret key. And as you've seen, I had the owner with the long secret key that's what I need to be able to send to a queue, because I don't want to have everyone having access to my queue. So I'm specifying the owner, and then I need to get the value, and I try to hide that from you. And that's why I put it in the config file. And there's something strange with my keyboard. The first bracket doesn't work. And that's SB secret. So I stored that one there. So what we have, we now have a messaging factory that is available to me, and I can start working with that. And what I will do, I will ask the user for a country, and I will add that property to the message that I will send. So the only thing I need to do now is, while the user enters a country, I need to enter or continue sending a message. So for that, I can say I will create a sender object, and that's a message sender object. What I need to do is just use my service bus namespace messaging factory, and I create a message sender. The only thing I need to give is the location of my queue. And that's the entity name that I ask in the beginning of my demo. Next to that, I need to create my message. So if you're familiar with JMS from the Java messaging site, or you're familiar with MSNQ, this might look familiar. You create a message and you send it. So I create a new brokered message, and you can specify a stream or an object with a serializer. For this one, I will just say, I will give a string and it will automatically serialize, and I can deserialize it in my receiver. The only thing that is now left, I need to add the properties. So the properties are headers that travel with your message, and that's like metadata, and you can the subscription that I created was country equals BE, so you can route based on that subscription or based on these properties. So I'm just adding the country property with the value that I asked from my user. And then I will use my sender to send the message. That's all I need from, let's say, coding. And if I start this one, I need to enter the name of the queue, so of my topic. So that was demo one topic. I need to enter a country, BE. So what I'm expecting now is that once the message is sent, that I will have in the country BE. It takes a while, especially the first time. Successfully sent. If I now do a refresh, you can see it turned from 8 to 9. So there's 9 messages waiting on that subscription. And let me now start by getting them from the subscription. So what I will do for that, I will create a receiver, and that's another console. And once this demo is finished, then we can go back to the CRM online stuff. I just created a service bus, so that's the exact same code as I created in my first demo. So I'm not doing that again. The only thing I need to do is specify the receive here. So I have a receiver just exactly the same way as I did it with my sender. So I'm creating a message receiver, and then I, of course, need to do the receive stuff. In your receive, you can specify a time span. And let's do a time span from 20 seconds. And then I will write the content of the message, get body. And here I can specify how he should deserialize it using the string object. So what happens here? I say, okay, you listen on a queue and you wait for 20 seconds. Of course, if a message arrives further, he will immediately get it. But if you don't find a message, wait for 20 seconds, and at the end, you will return null. So that's what happens there. So if I now do a build, and I have a link here, so I'm creating my sender here, my receiver on the right, and another receiver on the other right. The resolution is not perfect. So the topic that I'm sending to was demo one topic. And I will listen from the subscription. And for the subscription, can I? So the subscription was counter BE, and as you can see, you need to specify the topic name / subscriptions / subscription name. And let's start the other one too, which is the demo one topic subscriptions country FR. So they start listening. And there the messages come. So as you can see, the message that I just sent was picked up. So these were the old messages. If I now send to France, you can see it appearing in the bottom subscription, and Belgium is now the top. So once you get the connection, things go pretty fast. There's one thing to keep in mind. If I now send to country IE, my message is lost because there's no subscription. It gets delivered to a topic, and it sees that no one is interested, so I have a lost message. So to handle that, I could create a subscription with 1 equals 1, and that would receive all the messages. So that's one to keep in mind. So the timeout expired, and we can finish this demo. Is everything clear here? Because what I just explained was, let's say, the core concepts of the service bus, and that's what I will use in the rest of the demo, because now I'm going to switch to the CRM online part. For CRM, you can do a lot of different customizations. You can create custom forms. You can call the CRM services. So if you want to update CRM from the outside, you can just call these services. And what I found very interesting is the custom plugin architecture. So you can just create a custom plugin that allows you to inject logic and link it with specific events, like a creation of an account. You can say, I want to execute that event. So for that, you can very easily implement the iPlugin interface that just has an execute method and a constructor, a public constructor that has two properties or two attributes, the unencrypted configuration and the encrypted configuration. And we can see how you can do, because you have the plugin registration tool that is part of the SDK. So if you have that SDK, you just connect to your service, and you can easily go ahead and deploy. So let me start by opening that tool. So you use so for CRM Online, you need to log on with your live ID. And what I did, I just went crmonline.com. I created my own test account, so very straightforward. It asks for my password, and now it goes and looks up all the different subscriptions that are linked with my live ID. And this takes some time. Time enough to have a quick drink. And if you then double-click, you can see all the configuration. So here you can start customizing CRM Online, if that goes fast enough. Yeah. As you can see, I uploaded already some plugins, and you can also configure some service bus endpoints, but more on that later. The first thing is the CRM plugins. As you can see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 different plugins that I will show in each demo. The first one is the SMS notification plugin. So nothing to do with connectivity on premises. It's just showing how you can create a basic plugin. So for that, let's switch back to Visual Studio. Close everything we have. And open the SMS notification plugin. As you can see, I'm not using the I plugin, but I'm using a base plugin. Why? Because a lot of the plugins have the same harness. They need to do the same type of logic. So I said, let's create a base plugin, an abstract class, and implement that one for every plugin, just to be more generic. The only thing I did was provide my own configuration settings class, provide a way to trace. So if there's exceptions, I can easily trace. And then this is the real magic, where I can just say, OK, execute this. So I'm getting the context. I'm getting the tracing service. And I can write to that tracing service. And then the traces are added to CRM Online. And then, of course, I'm getting the entity. And that's maybe the most important thing. I'm getting the entity from the event. So if it's an account that is created, I'm getting the entity account. If there's an opportunity, it will be the opportunity that I get. And then I can do a match, like I should only get, this plugin should only work for invoices, and I can do a validation here, like if it's not an invoice, just return, because you don't need to execute it. And then I'm calling the internal execute. And the internal execute, as you can see, is the abstract method that everyone should implement. And this is the specific logic in this SMS plugin. So what I'm doing here, I'm getting a reference to the organization service, because the organization service, that's the one that I can use to query for data on CRM Online. So I can query all the entities, I can query accounts, I can query all of that. So I'm getting the service reference, and then I'm reading the invoice number from the entity. So all the entities have attributes, so I'm reading that attribute, I'm reading the amount, and then I check if it's linked with the customer. I'm getting that customer. And what you do for that, that's using the entity reference. And you can say service retrieve the account with customer ID. And what I also specify, you only need to retrieve the telephone number, because that's the one that I will use to send an SMS to. So if there's a telephone number found, I'm sending an SMS. Very straightforward, just doing an HTTP post on smsbox.com. So it's an online service that you can pay. You can pay some credits, and then you can send SMSs from your applications. So if I now want to upload that plugin, what I need to do, I need to select it here, double click, and you click update selected. What happens? Because this tool also works for CRM on premises. Within the cloud, you can only deploy in sandboxed mode, because it's a multi-tenant environment. They don't want you to do operating system level stuff, because you can harm other users. So you really run in a sandbox, and you can only deploy to the database. So that has some effects that I will discuss in the next slides. Once updating, I can then easily say, OK, I will link this plugin with a specific event. For that, the only thing I need to do is register a new step. And then it's not a drop-down, but it's semi-drop-down. So if you start typing, you can say, OK, the create of, for example, an invoice in this case, because if an invoice is created, I want to send an SMS to the invoicee, so to the customer that will receive the invoice. So creating an invoice will execute this plugin. And then you can say, at what time will it execute? For example, the pre-validation can be good if you want to enrich the invoice. Maybe you want to add some extra stuff, or you want to change the invoice number. Then you can do the pre-validation, because that's before it gets saved to the database. The pre-operation is a similar thing. And the post-operation, of course, is once it's completed, you can do a trigger. And that's what I will do here. And then, of course, you have sync and async. In the demos, I only use sync. But I think in production, a lot of cases, you will use asynchronous, because now my user will wait, and it will take some time, because he's doing the request to the online service there. So synchronous means wait. Asynchronous means it's in the background. And if, in that case, it would fail, you can always have a check in the system administration of CRM Online. You can see all the jobs, and you can reinitiate them. Imagine that your online or on-premises service is down. You bring it back up, and you can resume from CRM Online. So let's register this step. And you can also see I could specify configuration parts that are passed to that specific constructor there. So if I now go to CRM Online, you can see I only have 12 days left. So this was just in time. I can create an invoice. The catering at Tech Days, different location, but it looks similar as before. I link it with the customer, and I give a price list. Of course, I can do a lot more. The only thing that I want to show is that if I go to the accounts, so I'm linking it with best O-things. So this is all sample data that gets linked or gets inserted by the time I start my demo or my trial on CRM Online. So if you go ahead and check the best O-things, you can see that this is my phone number, so I should get an SMS once the message, once the invoice is saved. So let us now save it. And then I should get an SMS. I don't have a webcam with me, so I cannot show it. And I know that the sound won't work, so maybe it's loud enough. And it takes some time, of course, especially the first time. So if you upload an event, it always, or you link an event, a test step, it always takes some time. So it seems that things were okay. The message was sent to SMS box, and in a few next seconds, I'm hoping to receive an SMS message. That was clear enough, I think. Everyone awake? Okay. So that was my first plugin. Nothing with, let's say, on-premises connectivity yet. But it's pretty easy. So just download the SDK, register online, and then you can go ahead and start linking. There are some limitations, though. The first thing I wanted to try was, you know, doing my first demo with the messaging. So I said, okay, I will write that invoice to a queue. And I started Microsoft.ServiceBus, message receiver, so all the code that you saw me typing in my second demo. And then I uploaded and it didn't work. Why? Because I wasn't able to reference that Microsoft.ServiceBus DLL because I'm in that sandboxed mode and that changes a lot. So for that, if you want to use this ServiceBus capabilities, you need to switch to the other programming model, and that's the REST-based programming model. So for the bindings, like the basic HTTP relay binding, that's not available. So there's another trick. I just used the basic HTTP binding, so the basic one, and I injected custom behaviors to add the security token, because you need to add a security token from the ACS, from the access control service, and that's what I did in a custom behavior. So that's the specific items. And then, of course, what you cannot do is, like my base plugin, in typical .NET applications, you would do that in a separate DLL, a separate project that you reference from all the other ones. That's not possible. The only thing that is possible is doing a merge. So you can have it in a separate project, but you need to merge them to one DLL if you deploy. So these are the restrictions that you have in CRM Online. These restrictions don't count on CRM on-premises. Only they can count if you run in sandbox there. And another one was I just wanted to apply the data contract serializer that is, you know, part of WCF on an entity. And I got a security exception there. So my serialization that I'm doing in my demo is now custom, but I'm pretty sure that there are better ways. I just didn't find out. As I said, I'm only 1.5 months CRM Online expert. So let's start with the next demo, where I will have my CRM Online, and now I want to connect using a custom plugin, and I want to use the topic, so the PubSub model. What I want to do is I want to inject a plugin that publishes the entity, so the XMLized entity, on a topic, and it will promote the entity type. So it will say, okay, this is an entity type invoice, this is an entity type order, and it will just publish it to the topic. And then you can create subscriptions. So the advantage there for scenarios is that you can just have that one that one plugin written, and then you can easily hook in extra applications without touching your CRM implementation. So if someone decides, okay, now we need to know, we have this new application or this new project, and we need to know if a new opportunity is created because we need to do whatever, you can just create a new subscription without touching the CRM online, and on that subscription, you can start writing your receivers and your code. So that's the decoupling. That is a real good practice, in my opinion. What I did for that, writing this publish entity plugin, and again, it's just implementing this abstract class. And then I'm serializing the entity, and I don't want to even show the code because it's so ugly. So it's just creating an XML document based on the properties. So this should be better, but that's not the core focus of this session. So I serialize it to a stream, and then what I do is use a service bus wrapper. So that's a custom class that I will show. That's a class that implements all this REST fullness. And then, of course, I add some properties. So I promote a property entity type, saying this is an invoice, this is an order, this is an opportunity. And the entity ID is the GUID of that that item. And then I send a message. Service bus settings, that's a constructor, or let's say a construction around my configuration file. Entity, issuer name, issuer key, and the service bus namespace. So these are the service bus configuration settings that I don't want to have them hard-coded in this logic, of course. No, I can pass them in all the way here. So if we go ahead and check my publish entity, you can see it's linked. I hope you can see. It's linked with sales order and with invoice create. So if a sales order gets created or an invoice is created, this plugin will be executed. So again, I can just say, if we create an opportunity, we can add that step. Just showing, here we have the security of or the configuration of all the settings. So you can see, and you can download my key now, but I will change it anyway. But that's the way you can pass in configuration settings. So I can use the same plugin to send to a different topic just by changing the configuration here. And then, of course, the service bus wrapper in the send message, the only thing it does is doing an HTTP request, but it adds a token. And the token is, again, by a wrapper, and all that code is available online, and I will share it on the blog. But here we ask the ACS, so the Access Control Service of Microsoft, we ask for a security token, and we add it to the request that we will do on the service bus. Why do we do that? Because we want to make sure that the messages are, you know, validated and authenticated. We don't want to have every one of you writing to our messages and our queues. So this is some logic that I'm happy to share on our blog. What you can see here, if that's for my next demo, I'm sorry. So I'm just doing a post with the stream of my serialized entity, and I will write it to that specific entity. Here. What I then did was I can, of course, use my second demo where I have my console application listening on a queue, but I decided to use our platform just because it's out of the box here, where we can configure polling on some entities or FTPs or whatever. So I have configured polling on orders, for example. So where I say, you need to poll on entity topic subscription orders. And once that happens, it will be picked up by this cloud-based platform. It will be routed to the other location. Not going into details here, that's for my session tomorrow. It's just to show you what's going on behind the scenes. So what I will do now, I will create CRM I will create a new order, a new sales order. Let's order more candy for the tech days. So I'm saving it. Again, this is happening synchronously, so it will take a while because now he's going to the ACS service, requesting a security token. He's then creating his request, adding it to the request, and pushing it to the topic. So the topic, that's this one, CRM entity topic, with two subscriptions. And the subscription says entity type equals invoice. So if I go back to my code, that's what I promote. So I add a specific property, I tag that message, I say it's an entity type invoice or sales order. And as you can see, this is the sales order one. So if I then switch to my tracking screen, I can see that at 1:49, a sales order was sent. And if I double click, I can have a look and see the content of that order. So this is my own serialization. This could be much better, but that's the thing that's going on. So I'm just publishing the message, and if I want, I can now easily create a second subscription or a third subscription saying, oh, this subscription wants to have all the invoices larger than 1,000 of country Belgium. And then you can start pulling from that subscription. So that's the flexibility you can have with the whole publish and subscribe model of the service bus. And this is the way you can send messages from your CRM online to anyone who you want to have access on that queue. I want to show another thing that is interesting, because if we go here, CRM Online has some out-of-the-box service bus integration parts, things that I didn't use in this demo. What you can do, you can say, okay, I will create a new service endpoint. You specify your namespace, so your service bus namespace, and you specify, this has to be a relay, so one-way relay or two-way relay, or it has to be a queue or a topic or a REST call. And you can specify it here. The only thing is, it gets delivered to that topic, for example, but it doesn't have any properties attached to it. So you cannot do the pub sub. You cannot say, okay, I want to have a subscription that only receives the orders, because this is not using the, let's say, property promotion on the messages. Okay. Then I have another demo to show the relay. So the previous demo was all about messaging, putting an entity on a topic or a queue and picking it up asynchronously. What I want to have now, and I should change that title, I added that slide recently. I wanted to call a service, and I didn't want to call, you know, the next order service, because that happens way too much. And I wanted to do something different. And the good thing is that at home, I'm having, let's say, a home automation system, domotics. And I said, okay, let's try that. Let's play with that one. So what I did, I just contacted the supplier of that system, and I asked him, don't you have like a DLL or some API to call with that? He said, oh, yeah. And I had a test license for that DLL. So that's what I installed. And I wrote my own service, and it's still small. But I think soon I will have, a restful house, so where I can call my house over the service bus, and I can see the status of my relays and switch on relays and so on. I'm not saying that it's very business friendly, but it's just something that I like as a, maybe as a geek, that's what people said. So what I have as a setup, at home I just have a home PC, just a laptop. It has IIS with AppFabric, so Windows Server AppFabric on it, because that's where I host my service. That service is exposed to the cloud over the service bus. And if I call it, it will do a TCP call to my automation system. And in this case, an alarm should go off. So what I have, this is the plugin. And this is the HTTP relay stuff. So I'm doing it synchronously, and I'm just using the basic HTTP relay binding. I'm not doing the rest here, but it's just basic HTTP. So a web service SOAP call. And I'm saying, okay, you should have security and all of that. So I'm just using the basic HTTP binding because that's the only one available to me. And of course, NetTCP, but not the basic HTTP relay binding because I'm in that CRM sandbox. Then I say, okay, let's do a new channel factory of my system, of my service. So that's just my the proxy of my service that was created based on the WSDL. I specify my endpoint address, and that's the one here. And the next thing I do is I inject that specific endpoint behavior. So if I go to that behavior, what you can see is before sending a request here, I'm getting a token from the access control service again because you need to be authenticated on that service. I don't want to have everyone switching on the lights of my house, so you need to have that key. You connect to that. So I'm adding it in the as a base64 encoded string to my HTTP headers. And then the message will pass on in the WCF channel. So that's the only thing that I needed to add to be able to call the relay service. So what I did, this is my desk at home. And it has an alarm there. So I configured everything here in the plugin, where I say I have an alarm plugin. And if a new opportunity is created, let's ring the alarm at home. I tried to do the win of an opportunity because it would have been nicer, but that didn't work out. So I'm just linking here the creation of an opportunity, and you can go ahead and call that service. So let's switch back to CRM and create a new opportunity. There's a new opportunity, let's say for example, linking it here. So what I hope is once I save this message, the service will be called, and I hope to see my alarm back home switching on. And you know, things work well there. So that's the relay stuff where I have real hybrid scenarios. Of course, you can have that service replaced by SAP, by whatever you want. This is something different now. Okay, nice that that went well there. And then I have a last demo, and that's introducing some new technology. And that demo is connecting with SAP. I'm having an SAP running on my machine, and that SAP only needs 1.5 gigabytes of memory, so it's a mini SAP, that's what they call it, and you can use it to do demonstrations with it. And it has a lot of limitations, so you cannot call, you cannot create an order and so on, so it has not all the modules. It's very limited in functionality, you cannot create partners and so on. But this is, let's say, an SAP that I can use to test and to demonstrate against. So what I can do, I can show the existing customers, for example, all customers that end with an X. By the way, who likes this UI? Who has worked with it? I did. I'm happy that I don't need to work with it, and CRM was very refreshing there. So what I did, I created 3 customers on top with a custom, let's say, address of our office. And what I want to do in the demo is once an account is created, my custom plugin will have a check in my SAP on-premises, so behind all these firewalls, it will have a check in the SAP if the customer exists already there. So you can create an account and a customer might exist, and if it exists, it will return the details of that account And these details will be added in my form automatically, so it's enrichment. There's one thing that I want to say, it's pretty slow because this is CTP, the technology, and it's hosted in the American data center of Azure. That's where they do all the CTP stuff. So it's still slow, but that's something that I wanted to show. So what happens? I have Service Bus Connect running on my machine. Service Bus Connect, that's the new part, and that's part of the integration services from Azure. So you can do EAI and EDI stuff. So EDI, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's, let's say, the JSON from the 70s. That's, you know, the where you exchange invoices and so on. So they have functionality for that in the cloud, and they have EAI capabilities where you can connect with on-premise systems. And the only thing I need to install is the Service Bus Connect. So that's running in IIS, so in App Fabric. And you can connect to SAP, but also SQL on-premises, Oracle, and things like that. Siebel too, I think. And then the EAI bridge, that's something that I can deploy in the cloud. So I will show all the details, but the EAI bridge is running in the cloud on my Service Bus namespace. It doesn't have any compute, so I don't pay for my servers as you would do in a real cloud platform. So I just pay for that entity running there, and it contains transformation and routing and all of that. So you can call that entity using REST or SOAP, and then based on the incoming requests, I can do some routing, some transformation, some validation. So if you're familiar with BizTalk, there's a lot of capabilities of that product going in this CTP. Let's see if we can connect to that machine hosting Service Bus Connect. I will do something that Microsoft won't like. Don't tell me it rebooted. Damn it. I had a warning back in the speaker room saying there's updates available, it will reboot, so I just hope that wasn't the case. Okay, that was the case. But luckily it rebooted itself. I just hope that the demo will work. All right. So it's opening that project. So this is the virtual machine that contains the integration CTP, the services there. And this is a bridge. So I expose this endpoint to the cloud on my Service Bus namespace. And the incoming request is now one-on-one mapped with this one. So it's like a visual representation. And if you're familiar with the WCF routing service that was introduced in .NET 4, this might look familiar. So it's the routing part, but this is more visual. So it's like a message flow. And what's nice here is I have this Service Bus Connect running. And as you can see, you can configure different systems. So I can create an endpoint for SAP, for Siebel, for SQL, so I can expose my SQL store procedure, my SQL table, to the cloud on this URI. So if you go to a URI saying codetest.appfabriclabs.codetest/orders.sql, that's an endpoint where you can go ahead and query this specific table. Same thing for my SQL, for my SAP. I expose my SAP system, my specific customer query. I exposed it as an endpoint to the cloud. So if you go ahead and check. I'm sorry. Then you can see I need to specify some specific properties to my SAP system. So if you're into SAP, these properties will be familiar. If you're into SQL, you can see that you have different properties, you know, the location you need to connect to. All right? So you specify locally on-premises your endpoints, and then you can say, okay, let's just drag SQL here, and you can then create a new connection. Just like that. And on that connection, you need to specify a filter again. So you can say match all. So all incoming requests should be going there. Or you can specify a filter, and that's really the same as we did in the previous thing. So where you specify filters. And then the incoming message will route to the specific endpoint on premises. There's one thing important. You've seen that with my messaging demo, it could have been that I sent one entity to a topic and that it got delivered on three subscriptions. So it's one to many or one to none. As I said, I sent country Ireland and the message was lost. The difference here is that you can only have one on one. So the first matching filter will get the message. So that's a big difference. You don't have the pub/sub one to many, it's one on one. And you can specify filter sequences. Sequence number, just like that. The next thing is, you can configure your bridge. Let's try to... So as you can see, this bridge here just has an incoming request, and this looks very much like a pipeline in BizTalk. An incoming request and an outgoing response. Compared with the pipeline of BizTalk, this has a lot of differences because this is very limited. This is hosted in the cloud in a multi-tenant platform, high density, so you really are restricted. You cannot, for example, build custom pipeline components or custom bridge components. So you just need to use the components available by this CTP. We had discussions with the team, and they are well aware that custom components and all of that are important, and they are looking in a way to sandbox that, because they don't want to have, again, me running out your memory, for example. So the whole sandboxing thing, that's pretty difficult in the cloud environment. But what you can do, I can specify schemas here. So I said, okay, for the incoming schema, here, I specified my contract of my endpoint. Just I'm receiving a customer ID, and as a response, I'm returning these values. These values will come from my SAP. SAP, of course, doesn't have all these friendly contracts and has more Angela Merkel-style German abbreviations. So what I could do, I could very easily say, add schemas to this project. So creating the schemas pops up the username and password. It will look into SAP. It will create the schemas, and it will add them to the project. Again, if you're familiar with BizTalk or with the line of business adapter pack, that's what it is. So this is the line of business adapter pack installed with Service Bus Connect. As you can see, these are the services added here. And schema support is really not that good in the CTP. But you can see all these requests are there. Then, of course, I need to transform the incoming request to the SAP request and the SAP response to the friendly response. And for that, of course, what we have the mapping. So what I did, I have a request mapping and a response mapping. And again, looks pretty familiar to those of you who know about BizTalk. So I map this like Kundennummer to the number of the customer, and all these other abbreviations are mapped to the corresponding friendly names. Once that was done, the only thing I needed to do was publish my or deploy my demo. So this would create a REST endpoint, an HTTP endpoint in the cloud on my service bus namespace, and you can call it again with security and all of that. What's important here, this is one of the first attempts in a real multi-tenant service from Microsoft. So if you're in the compute, so in the Azure, you might have seen Scott Guthrie boosting up a new machine with an MVC application and all of that. But he has his own compute. So he says, I want to have two instances, and these are for me and for him only. This is different. I'm not specifying this should run on four machines. No, this just gets deployed to the cloud. And I know that Microsoft will take care of all the rest. And I don't specify, I don't pay per CPU cycle and all of that. I just pay per, this is not clear yet, but I will just pay by times it gets requested and all of that, so by traffic and all of that. So I can have the service maybe running for months and have only four messages going through that service, and it won't cost me a lot. If you have two servers of Azure running side by side in the cloud, doing nothing, it still costs you a lot. So that's a big difference with the high density part. So I won't deploy because it is deployed. And let me just check because this machine rebooted. I just hope it still works. So this is a small test application. I can trigger my alarm back home if I want. Okay, seems to work. So let's switch to the last plugin, the SAP Bridge plugin. Again, the base plugin. What I'm doing, I'm just reading the account, so the name of the account that is created on CRM. I'm using the service bus settings, and I'm just doing a request here. So I'm serializing my message to the XML that is expected by my bridge. I do the call to that bridge, again by adding the ACS token. I get a response back, and I deserialize it to the response message. And in my plugin, I just update my data based on the resulting data. So just showing it at work. By creating a new account, because that's where it is linked to, the SAP Bridge plugin is linked with the creation of an account. So I'm creating a new account, and let's pick one of the SAP customers, for example, Logix. And not saving anything more, I'm just saving. Now the plugin is executing, he's calling that bridge in America, connecting back to my to this machine, the service bus machine, that is sending to SAP and returning all the way back. And you can see that the data from SAP was automatically filled in. This was a very limited example because my SAP is limited, but I could have done a creation of a customer. So if you create it in the cloud, you can automatically have it created in your ERP system. So the whole way of communicating from cloud to on-premises, it opens a lot of possibilities with the entire cloud platform. Because I know that a lot of companies were using batch synchronization and tools like Scribe and all of that, which are very powerful. But this is probably worth the investment or having a look at because it makes things more real-time and flexible, in my opinion. So to wrap up, I think we can say that the service bus brings extreme flexibility in the way you can do integration in hybrid scenarios, so from cloud to the on-premises and back. CRM Online has a very restricted and sandboxed environment. You can work around that. You can have the sample code afterwards, of course, but you can work around it using the REST APIs, just as you can do from Java and Node and all these languages. And then the new capabilities that come with the EAI bridges and the CTP of integration services, they really bring and can expose your on-premises SQL, SAP, and hopefully soon your own custom adapters. They can easily expose it to the cloud and still be managed. And I think that the hybrid communication will definitely be, you know, key in the coming years. As a call to action, if you're interested in this, I can say it's very easy to start. I just started in December after Christmas. Very easy. Just take your trial account, or some partners have probably CRM Online accounts. Download the SDK, and you can start playing. Same thing for Azure. You can easily ask for your trial account and all of that. If there's questions, I'm happy to answer them. And otherwise, I thank you for the attention. And see you later then.